Good morning, everyone. Such a beautiful day the Lord has provided. This morning's scripture readings are both in the New Testament. The first one is in 2 Corinthians and is on page 1803 in the Pew Bible. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Our second reading is from the book of Luke. And it's found on page 1627 in your Pew Bible. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." The word of the Lord for the people of the Lord.
Would you join me in prayer this morning? Lord, we come into your presence and we ask only, Lord, that we might receive a word from you. Lord, we bring so much with us to this place. And Lord, in this day where we talk about generosity and thankfulness and stewardship, Lord, enable us to live lives of response to your grace and your goodness. Meet us here in this place, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here's a word of wisdom. There's a fine line between a long, drawn-out sermon and a hostage situation. The church council met to discuss the pastor's compensation for the coming year. After meeting the chair of the council, they told the pastor, "We're very sorry, pastor, but we can't give you a raise this year." "But I have a raise," said the pastor. "I am but a poor preacher." "I know," the council chair said. "We hear you every Sunday." My, my. There was an announcement in church that there would be a meeting of the church board immediately after the service. After the close of the service, the church board gathered at the back of the sanctuary for the announced meeting. And there was a stranger in the middle of them, a visitor who had just that Sunday attended the church for the first time. "My friend," said the pastor, "didn't you know this is a meeting of the church board?" "Well, yes," said the visitor. "And after today's sermon, I suppose I'm just about as bored as anyone else who came to this meeting." So all that to say, I hope you don't leave this place bored. So friends, I come to this scripture in Luke 17 this morning, and I was struck this week by at least three things in this gospel that were somewhat astonishing, a little confusing, and a little weird for Jesus to ask of these lepers. So let's set the scene. Jesus is traveling. And do you remember what I said last week in the sermon? If you weren't bored, maybe you were listening. That when we come to geography in Scripture, it's not just a place in a particular geographical context. Places in Scripture are loading importance. Mountains and valleys and rivers, and this place is named this title for some significant theological reason. Geography is important. And notice the detail that Luke gives us. Jesus is walking the border between Galilee, the land of Jews, and Samaria, the land of Gentiles. And Samaritans, in good observant religious Jews' eyes, Samaritans were Gentiles. They were considered half-breed dogs because they were Jewish, but way back in their lineage, there had been intermarrying with non-Jews, and they worshipped differently. They had a different temple. So they were most despised. Jesus walks the border between the two. You see, friends, Jesus is our bridge. He's the one who unites people who had been divided. People whose difference had caused them to hate one another. Jesus is the one who brings together. And so here he is in this ambiguous area. Not quite Jewish, not quite Gentile, something else. And there are 10 lepers. Now, if you knew anything about leprosy in Jesus' day, lepers would have to announce themselves. Long before you saw them, you would hear them. They would yell, "Unclean!" Because it was believed that leprosy was incredibly contagious. And not only was it a detriment to your physical body, but there were also religious ramifications for having leprosy. You couldn't go into worship. All the different rituals, you could not go into the temple with others and perform them. You were often cast out of your family, out of your community, relegated to the margins, and nobody could come near you, nobody could touch you. Relationships were lost. Love and closeness was something unavailable to the leper. And so the scripture says these 10 lepers, what? They stand at a distance because they know they can't come near Jesus. They stand at a distance and they call out for him to have mercy on them and for him to heal them. And now what does he say to do? He doesn't touch them. He doesn't say, "Your faith has made you well." He doesn't make any pronouncements on them. He gives them an instruction. Go and show yourself to the priests. Now, there's at least three things really strange about that. First of all, these are Samaritans, and a good Jew is speaking to them. What temple do they go to? Secondly, they can't go to the temple. That was off limits to them because they were unclean. They had leprosy. So how could they go and present themselves to the priest? And finally, to present yourself to the priest meant that you had become clean and you would go to the priest for rituals to bring yourself back into the community. So it almost seems as if Jesus is saying to them, "You're healed and you're clean." You would go and you would show evidence of that to the priests. And then they would ritually purify you and you'd be brought back into the community. But these are folks who still have leprosy. So what in the world could Jesus mean? Well, the 10 of them go off, perhaps not quite knowing where they're going or why they're going. But they go off. And on the way there, they realize something. They've been made clean. They're well. Perhaps the numbness which characterized leprosy. Leprosy often itself wouldn't kill you. Leprosy would deaden nerves and appendages, causing you not to feel pain or sensation. And so you could get cut or you could get burned badly and not even know it. Perhaps sensation started to return to their hands and feet. Maybe they had sores that they noticed were healing up. Something happened on the way to go to the priest in the temple to present themselves. Something beyond comprehension. And of the 10 who go, one returns to give thanks. Confused as he probably was, didn't know what had happened. All he knew is that he was clean again. And so he comes back to Jesus, and Jesus inquires of him, there were 10. And you, the Samaritan, the one who was unclean, the one that Jews hated, that's the one who comes back to throw himself at Jesus' feet and offer thanks. You see what happens here? Look at what happened. By faith, he accepted something that was confusing and strange, but he believed the one speaking. And that's a key for us, isn't it? See, friends, Jesus comes to us. Jesus makes demands of us. Jesus invites us. Jesus asks us to do things that may seem strange, and indeed, by the standards of this world, foolish. But because we trust the one speaking to us, we can step by faith anyway, and maybe we'll find that we're healed in the process. You see what happens here? When he returns and when he gives thanks, he falls at Jesus' feet. And just before, where had he been? At a great distance. Unable to come to Jesus. And when he's healed, he falls at Jesus' feet. See, friends, there's something about the healing power of Jesus that bridges a divide. It brings people together. Where people had been separated, now they're united. Where there had been hurt, there's now healing. Where there had been disruption of relationship, there's reconciliation and restoration. All because of the one speaking. All because of the one who said, go, show yourselves to the priest. A strange, strange admonition from this man. And they're all healed, but one returns. Only one returns. Friends, if you're here today, if you haven't been healed before by Jesus in your life, in whatever shape that may have taken, there is healing for you in the name of Jesus. And here is a response. Where we had been at a distance, now we can come close. Where we had had no relationship, now we have one. Where things had been disrupted and broken, now they are repaired and healed. All because of Jesus. And this Samaritan shows us what our life of response should be. One of gratitude and thanks. As you recall last Sunday, when thinking about stewardship, which really is not a part of the Christian life, it's the totality of the Christian life. That's what stewardship is. It's not this little thing over here that we might do once a year. It's everything. It's all about us. Because, friends, here is the biblical story. Is that when we're healed by Jesus, we respond with thanks. We don't put one before the other. We don't respond with thanks so that Jesus will heal us or so that we can receive something from him. That is to get it all wrong. When we encounter Jesus and when he has healed us and set us free in ways perhaps we can't even fathom, our response is to come back and to fall in gratitude and thanks. And then we live our life out of that place. Because if you know what it's like to have been healed by Jesus and how life transforming that is and how areas in your life that you thought were dead are alive again and things that you thought were irreparably broken have been mended, you want others to know about that too. You want others to hear about this man who might utter strange things to us. And yet we find as we go about our business, we're completely changed and healed and set free. And so today before us is the question, now what? What will we do? If you've made that choice that we talked about last week, that admonition that Joshua gave to the people of Israel is the same one before us now. Choose today who you will serve. And once you have made that choice, how then will you live? What will you do with the gift that has been given to you? That's before all of us. Will we live lives, parsimonious lives, petty lives, where we hoard God's goodness for ourselves? Or will we be people who, out of thankfulness and gratitude for what God has done, want to do all that we can to share it with others? Think of what this Samaritan man did. Imagine him showing back up at his home, perhaps to his family. Maybe he even had a wife and children. Leprosy would have disrupted all of that. Imagine him returning home. I think of that Samaritan woman that Jesus met at a well. And you know what she couldn't wait to do? To run back to her village and tell them everything about this man who knew things about her that nobody else knew. All she wanted to do was tell somebody else. Friends, let's be like the Samaritans. We've met Jesus. We've been healed out of thankfulness and gratitude. Let's tell somebody else. Amen. And amen.